Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Tuesday morning. Live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Brian Callahan fired by the Titans. Mike McCoy named as the interim head coach. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. Let's head to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Roy to the program. Roy, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Good morning. Well, I've called in the last few weeks about the possible Brian Callahan being fired. And a lot of folks thought, well, maybe he'd still be there after the Patriots, and didn't see, you know, if we even lost the Patriots, didn't think maybe Amy would get rid of him then just because of the whole Vrabel thing. But I feel like Callahan and Whittingham had pretty much the same record in their 2 years, and it was pretty close. I think Whittingham got fired in November of his second year, so it was pretty close. But, you know, I think there's going to be more changes to this team. Us fans, I've seen a lot of players come and go that we did not want to see go. I mean, over the years, we just keep getting punched in the gut. I think we're going to be sellers. I wouldn't be shocked if you didn't see Big Jeff on the trade block. Magazzi and Breaker both said they want draft capital, and they didn't see the advancement with Callahan's regime. All I will say is Mike Munchak, Mike Mularkey, Mike Vrabel, Mike McCoy. It's all about the Mikes. I'm not going to be shocked if Mike McCoy doesn't go in there and get maybe five, six wins, and he somehow ends up being the coach next year, and Breaker and Magazzi just try to build with the draft for the next couple of years. Thanks a lot, guys. Tighten up.
Thank you, Roy. Appreciate it. I mean, we'll see what the job Mike McCoy does as he takes over now. I mean, you know, I don't think he's got the tools to really make a huge impact here, but we'll see. We'll see. Maybe, you know, if Cam Ward comes out and just looks really good under Mike McCoy, then I guess you have to take that into consideration if you're the Titans.
Well, yeah. I got here, like, right after they decided to hire Mularkey.
Yeah.
And I recall, not very popular.
No.
Not very popular at all. Turned out to be good. I mean, is Mike Mularkey like the second best Titans? Well, no, I mean, you'd go Fisher, Vrabel, Mularkey, right?
Correct.
Yeah. But still. Yeah, like, it's laughable that they would consider hiring him. But I don't know. Why would someone on Whittingham's freaking staff get that job, right?
Yeah. I mean, look, the one thing I will say is, and they brought up this point several times last night, Brinker and Borgonzi, you know, sometimes change does have an effect, right? Like, we've seen that in sports. Sometimes you change things up, you change the coach, and I don't know if it's a heightened focus level. I don't know if it's a heightened sense of vulnerability that guys have, or they feel like they better put their best foot forward or they're going to be sent packing. I don't know what it is, but we see this happen in sports. Now, it doesn't happen that much in the NFL just because teams don't fire the head coach in the NFL six games into the season all that much. So it's a different set of circumstances when you're talking about, you know, a 17-game NFL season as compared to, you know, an 82-game NHL season where we see coaches get fired in season every year, all the time, always. Like, it happens all the time in the NHL. So it's a different thing. But, like, I mean – I am interested to see how they play this week. Like, does it look different? Does it look dramatically different from the quarterback spot? Like, is there a short-term bump here for the Titans and they start to play better? Or does it go completely the other way where it's, you look at it and you're like, man, they all look like they've quit and the season's over and some of the other guys are just probably trying to play to get out of here. Like, I'm interested to see where things go from here.
I mean, you think about that quote that you just read from the Mike Silver story in The Athletic.
Yeah.
From the Raiders source. Again, that's like, to me, that's, yeah, they're a terrible team, which, again, that's the only thing yesterday that I wish was asked at some point was, you guys keep talking about growth. Did you give Brian Callahan anything that would allow for growth because you can't compete in this league? You know, what about that part of it? Because right, that's your job, right? But also, like, the whole thing is a mess. I mean, it spoke to the whole thing,
coaching,
right?
Yeah,
it spoke to coaching too. Yeah. So, I mean, I feel like they don't have the players. Even if they have a bump, they're still going to lose, like, almost all the games from here. But, yeah, like, if they look
Can you be more competitive?
If they look considerably different and, yeah, like do some different stuff offensively.
Yeah.
I heard TD talking yesterday about, you know, sitting in the press box, and this is where, you know, when you see the whole field, it's very different than watching on TV, and he's next to Chase and like, I mean, they're just begging the Titans to take a shot, and they won't take one vertical shot.
Yeah.
You know, we've talked about RPOs with Cam. We've talked about the miserable screen game that just – I mean, obviously, this coaching staff did not in any way figure out how to try to maximize what he has. He has been bad. We agree on this. But, yeah, maybe this change does some stuff in that way that unlocks something.
Maybe. And then what if it doesn't? Let's play this out, because I'm going somewhere with this. What if it looks the same way it's looked all year, and they're just horrific, and then, you know, a couple weeks from now they start trading people off, whether it's Simmons and Ridley or whoever, and you start to lose some of the only good players that you have, and it's just horrific from here on out. You end up with the number one pick, all those things. Well, again, you've already fired the coach. I mean, who's to say if it doesn't get any better, Brinker doesn't get fired at the end of the year? Like, I'm not going to totally take that off the shelf. I don't think it'll happen, but I'm not taking anything off the shelf with Amy Adams Strunk. What does this all mean for Ward, right? Like, Ward has been bad. If Ward doesn't get a whole lot better this year, I can promise you we will hear from some Titans fans at the end of the year. And you may think this is ridiculous right now. I'm just telling you, we will hear from Titans fans at the end of the year if it doesn't get better with Ward, that will say, well, you got number one pick, just go take quarterback. I guarantee you we will hear that. Which, I'm with you. Like, it just sounds dumb.
Who?
And it is like – and that's the other thing. Like, I don't know who that quarterback is going to be, because nobody's really taken the ball and run with it so far in college football.
Someone called in yesterday. I think it was Next Man Up. They wanted the Indiana kid already.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're going to hear it if he doesn't get better.
And be a big old loser for Mendoza. All right, sorry, go ahead.
And I'm not, like, I don't think the Titans will operate that way, because, I mean, if you do that after 1 year, after not taking the Giants deal, and you already give up on Cam Ward when it was your front office that picked Cam Ward, that probably doesn't speak very well to the front office and what things are doing there. But I say all that to say, this all starts, it all accelerates everything. This firing the coach, how bad they are, it accelerates everything. And I'm telling you, at the end of this year, it may not happen. But if Ward doesn't start good next year, everybody around here is going to be clamoring for another quarterback. It's how it's going to be. So this thing gets accelerated quicker than ever in the NFL.
I mean, to be fair, Trey calls us every other day and tells us he's like the worst quarterback in the history of
mankind.
I
think he did that before the season started. Yeah.
Go commando for Fernando?
Yeah.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right. It does accelerate everything. I mean, realistically, Cam Ward is getting – if not all of next season, he's getting through next season until it's so bad that they're like, sorry. Yeah, it would have to be that, right? So, like, before you have clear and – extreme failure in year two, there's no point. Like, everything should be about what can he do, how can he get better, who can help him get better, all that stuff. But yeah, but you're right. Everything that has gone on from the top here is, and what's next? And what's the next thing?
What's the next thing?
You keep spinning your wheels and you never get a chance to. And again, we got these guys last night reminding about the patience plan. And all this. Yeah. Well, that's not how it operates. That's not how the person who pays you is doing things. So you can't do things that way.
Well, you know, they were asked at one point last night, you know, you guys have talked about patience. What gives you the confidence that Amy Adams Strunk is going to display that patience with you? And there's nothing, you know, there's nothing they can really say there.
Yeah.
But, well, like,
I hope she does.
Yeah, like, but
that's about it.
Like, I'm kind of joking, and I feel like I have to put that disclaimer on everything we talk about with the Titans the last few years. I'm kind of joking, but I mean, it's October. What if it doesn't get better? What if it's just this bad all year? Are you totally convinced she's not firing anybody else? I'm not. Like, I don't think they will, but I wouldn't be shocked if, like, at the end of the year, she's like, Chad, you're gone. Mike Borgonzi, you're leading the coaching search. Here we go.
Yeah.
That's what they've done.
Yeah. You could do that, you know, because then you basically keep your, you know, your player selection stuff intact.
Yeah.
And you just find another scapegoat.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the logical next scapegoat, but again, who knows?
So
maybe he's got, you know, he's got a protective bubble wrap around him.
Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know what he could have possibly
done
to have earned
that. I don't think anyone would get fired at the end of the year, but hey, it's all on the table.
It's all on the table. So who do you want to see as the next head coach of the Tennessee Titans? We will get into that coming up next. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game.
But Mike and I will lead the, if you're asking, you know, as far as the search is concerned, Mike and I will lead that search. But right now, you know, what our focus is right now is pouring everything we can into Mike McCoy and giving him every opportunity from here on out, starting this week. We got the Patriots coming to town. We got to do everything we can to help him, you know, to support him the way he needs to be supported so we can go out there and win a football game. So that's really what our focus is right now. There's going to be plenty of time to talk about the next steps. But Mike McCoy is going to get every opportunity to prove. I mean, he's been a head coach in this league before, so we want to give him that opportunity.
Mike Borgonzi and I will be leading the search for the next coach, but Mike McCoy will have every opportunity to be the head coach for the Tennessee Titans.
He's a Mike.
He is.
He's a Mike. He should be seriously considered.
We'll see how that goes with Mike McCoy leading the way. So who do you, as Titans fans, want to see as the next head coach of the Tennessee Titans? We've had some suggestions, some ideas rolling in all show long. So let's open up the floor. Now that Brian Callahan is officially fired and we don't have to play this game while he's still the head coach of the Tennessee Titans, who do you want to see as the next head coach of the Tennessee Titans? 615-737-1025.
Before opening the floor, let's go ahead and eliminate some people that people are somehow suggesting. First of all, multiple people are talking about Bill Belichick. What? No.
No thanks.
Bill Belichick's not going to be the next coach. So put that away. I understand that, like, he has a
Did
lot
they clone
of
clone Brady? Is he coming back with him?
Yeah, that's not a serious suggestion. So no, Eddie George. That's an unserious suggestion. Now look, Eddie George at least, unlike Jeff Saturday when the Colts plucked him. Now granted, that was just for an interim
friend of the show
deal, but there was talk about maybe Jeff Saturday, maybe he'll be the guy. Unlike Saturday, I mean, Eddie George is coaching. And he's doing a pretty good job here at Bowling Green. But even, first of all, how many legendary players from an NFL organization coach the organization? I just think it's a bad idea.
Mike Vrabel.
Oh, yeah. That's a good point. It's a great idea. Eddie George, leading contender.
I mean, he's coached six games in New England, so we'll see.
But he's in first place.
Yep.
He's a good coach. He's a guy who had been NFL Coach of the Year, though, before that happened.
Correct.
Right? Like, yes. The idea, like, I'm trying to think, are there examples of just like, well, I mean, like, Mike Singletary was a great player with the Bears when he coached the Niners.
Right.
You know, like, it's just, if Eddie George were further along and had done more, and again, I think he's been he did a good job at TSU. He's doing a good job at Bowling Green. You know, then maybe you could start to talk about that right now, this job, this year. No.
I would agree.
No.
Yeah.
So let's eliminate those two. Who else? Can we eliminate John Gruden, or do we leave the door cracked on
Gruden? Gruden is going to be a very popular answer for this. I have no doubt about it. Again, I would look at the situation. I would look at his ongoing legal stuff between him and the NFL. And come to the conclusion that it probably ain't happening in the NFL. Like, he's probably not going to be a head coach in the NFL. It's probably going to be college if he's going to be a head coach. So, I mean, I guess you can't totally remove him from the list of possibilities, but I don't think that is going to be how this ends up playing out.
Yeah, I don't think he'll be in the NFL next year. So at least that one is. But again, even let's say all that stuff wasn't the case. When's the last time that John Gruden was, wow, what a great coach?
It's been a while.
20 years ago? Yeah. Like when he and Bill Callahan coached against each other in the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I mean, given what the Raiders are, like he did okay with the Raiders this last time
out.
But, I mean, they were paying him $100 million, right? Like, I mean, just they certainly did not get the return on investment for that. So, look, some names that are going to be very popular in this as this cycle goes on. And by the way, this cycle's not ending anytime soon. Like, we're going to have months of this coming up, so prepare yourselves. like Joe Brady is going to be a very popular name out there with Buffalo, and he's your offensive guy and all those things. You know, we'll see how the rest of the year goes for the Commanders. They're not off to a hot start. But Cliff Kingsbury is a name that people are going to throw out there. Obviously, Mike McCarthy is going to be a name that we talk about a lot. Mike McCarthy, longtime coach of the Packers, coach of the Cowboys, been a head coach, successful head coach in the league. We're going to talk about that. I mean, there's a bunch of different guys that people are going to throw out there. Here's what I will say, and they just got out of one of these, and I'm not saying you can't go back to this well, but I think if you limit yourself to this, you're doing yourself a disservice. Like the idea that you have to go hire some young buck up-and-coming offensive guy, I think is a stupid way to approach this if you're the Titans. I'm not saying you can't hire one of those guys. Like, it's not like you look at Joe Brady and it's like, well, Brian Callahan didn't work, so we can't hire Joe Brady. That's not what I'm saying. But I think if you're the Titans and you view this through, well, we got to hire an offensive guy who's a play caller, who's working with Cam Ward, and that's our criteria for what the head coach has to be. I think if you're limiting yourself to that, you're not doing yourself many favors. I mean, look, last time out, clearly that's what they wanted, right? Like they wanted the offensive guy to change things up. They did not want that overbearing, domineering personality that Vrabel had and all those things. And look, just because it didn't work out with Brian Callahan doesn't mean that the next guy won't. But like, you know, Mike McDonald's out there. Looks like he's doing a pretty good job in Seattle. Dan Quinn was available. Looks like he's doing a pretty good job in Washington. So I would not limit yourself if you're the Titans to just, well, it has to be somebody like Joe Brady. I don't think that's a smart way to approach this at all if you're the Titans.
Well, I agree. I would almost think that the opposite would be true, which is okay, because that's what happens, right? Well, we got to – The culture stuff is bad. Yeah, this is not a CEO. We got to get the CEO guy. We got to get the more Vrabel like a.
Yeah.
Maybe the firings have happened so fast that, but that's usually how it goes. Like you look for whatever didn't work. Okay, what's the alternative to that?
Well, and I think that would be an equally dumb way to approach it.
Yeah,
is to just be like, well, right. We got to go hire somebody else other than like the opposite of Callahan.
Exactly. No, both are dumb. Like you should be open to all of it. I think that fans will be a little bit more hesitant about like a Brady just because, everybody said, I mean, yeah, right. I said it. Like Brian Callahan was the Brady of two cycles ago. That's what he was. And we saw, you know, they don't all work out. It ended up being a bad hire. I think I do kind of like the idea, if possible, of the head coaching experience. I mean, I just think that's like there is a certain level of like, you know, just like there's just a certain – you have an unknown that comes with, obviously, with anybody who's not been a head coach. Some just can't do it. Brian Callahan was in over his head. He couldn't handle all that comes with being a head coach. I mean, you know, there's a lot of stuff about his time that, you know, beyond the product that is bothersome that kind of shows that he wasn't a CEO. So – head coaching experience, I think it would be good to have that if possible. That doesn't mean a Joe Brady wouldn't work out great. I mean, Ben Johnson's 3-2 with the Bears after the Commanders gave them a free win last night.
Yep.
So, but yes, you don't limit yourself. I mean, Drake May is, you know, it's very early. It's six games. But Drake May's right now playing like one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. Mike Vrabel's not a QB guru, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, you get a coach like that, and you hire good people. Yes, you may lose them. But, my God, wouldn't you like to have that problem to be good enough to where someone would want to hire away your OC? How far away are the Titans from that? They're light years from that.
Sounds like a good problem to have at the moment. Let's head to our 102.5 The Game phone line. Welcome in Brandon in Franklin to the program. Brandon, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, good morning, guys. I want to weigh in on two options that I don't think are going to be super popular, but I think would be well-received within our organization. One being Matt Nagy, giving him another chance. He was somewhat successful in Chicago, and he seemed successful in Kansas City, and with his ties to Mike Borgonzi, I think he could be a potential lead. The other one is Arthur Smith. I know he had a bad rap with Atlanta, but I think that he would be well-received in Nashville, and I'm going to hang up and listen and see what you guys think.
Thank you, Brandon. I think two names there that definitely are going to come up a lot as well. Nagy, obviously his ties to Borgonzi. And, you know, like Brandon said there, you know, it wasn't great in Chicago. He did have Mitch Trubisky as the quarterback, so you got to keep that in mind for the majority of it. And, you know, Arthur Smith, who obviously has deep ties and roots here to the organization, and we've talked with Karski about this actually, thinks that that may be an actual option for them moving forward. It did not go well for Arthur Smith as head coach in Atlanta, and you could make a lot of different cases for why that is. I mean, part of it was he had Marcus Mariota and Desmond Ridder as his starting quarterbacks there. So,
yep.
What can you really do with that? I don't know. But two guys for sure in Nagy and Arthur Smith that I think will also be very popular names in this conversation.
So down the road, after Brian Callahan, he's somebody's OC, QB, whatever,
yeah,
and he's a candidate for a head coaching job, is it because people are like, well, remember, I mean, Brian Callahan had Cam Ward as his quarterback.
Maybe. Now, you know, Arthur Smith also didn't go 4-19, so.
That is true, too.
There is that to keep in mind as well. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Who do you want to see as the next head coach of the Tennessee Titans? We'll continue that discussion. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. We have the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road coming up here in just over 10 minutes, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. Nick Suss will join us from the Tennessean coming up at 8 o'clock, so looking forward to that. Let's head to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Freddie to the program. Freddie, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Okay, good morning to y'all, guys, and I really appreciate your call, and I appreciate you taking my call. I'd like to throw out three names if y'all think these guys are not too old. Think about if he can get out of retirement, Bill Belichick, Bill Carter, Nick Saban. And like I said, I really appreciate y'all's show, and I hang up and listen to you.
Thank you, Freddie. So appreciate it. I mean, so like Saban, first off, I don't think Saban is going to coach again. Let me make that clear. I definitely don't think he's coming back to the NFL. Like, I think if he was going to coach again, it would probably be somewhere in college. I don't think it's going to be in the NFL. But he seems to be pretty happy on the set of College Game Day.
Yeah, I don't think we'll see Nick Saban coach anywhere again. Bill Belichick. No, who was the middle one there?
Cowher, I think is what he said.
Bill Cowher?
I think so.
Yeah, I don't think he's coaching again. Like, I mean, I'm old, so I think I can say this a little bit more. Like, some of these people are really old. Like, we need to get some young people in here. You know? Sorry. But
Bill, you're too old.
I mean, it's just, but you know, but people are out of it for so long, and like, it's not, I mean, yeah, some of the text line is pushing me on Cignetti, and it's like, I mean, Kurt Cignetti is 64. He's a great coach. He's going to be a college football coach. He's never been in the NFL. He's not going to the NFL at 64 years old. You know, like he's going to have a great run in Indiana for a few years and retire.
And here's the other question on this. And again, we were going to get into this discussion at some point, and we're here now. How attractive is this job? Like, they're going to find somebody. I'm not saying that nobody's going to want to coach the Titans, right? Because it's one of 32, and they're going to find a head coach and somebody, they're going to find a, you know, reasonably good candidate to be a coach. But, like, let's say Mike McCarthy really wants back in, and there's, you know, six, seven, whatever the number is, openings at the end of the year, and multiple people want Mike McCarthy. Well, where does this job stack up, right? Like, is this an attractive job? People are going to say, oh, yeah, you got Cam Ward. Well, what if Cam Ward doesn't play any better all year long? Like, that's probably not very attractive at that point, right? Like, so, you know, they're going to find a head coach. They're going to find somebody that we're going to look at and say, okay, I understand, you know, the reasoning for why they made that hire. But when it comes to the best coaches in this cycle, whoever they end up being, if there are teams that multiple teams are vying for their services, where do the Titans fall in that mix? My guess is probably not very high.
Yeah, no. And Karski had questions along those lines yesterday. It was good, and I agree. If you're now with McCarthy in particular, you do have the Brinker.
So is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I don't know. Does he like? If he thinks a lot of Brinker, that could help. If he thinks what some people who have worked here, who no longer do, think of Brinker, then that probably would not help. So I don't know. But, yes, there are a lot of reasons that this job, compared to other jobs, there's 32.
Yeah.
But compared to other jobs, would probably be a lot for a lot of candidates. It'd be like last of the list. Well, if this is all I can get, you know, Like, if you're Mike McCarthy, do you might want back in, but do you have to be back in?
Right.
Can you wait another cycle? Yeah, you probably can. So, yeah, they beat the Panthers out for Brian Callahan. Congratulations. Big win. Big win that we were lauding, less than two, when Rand and all the guys are all excited. At that point, I think Carolina ownership was viewed as the worst in the NFL. I think the Titans may now hold that mantle.
You know, I'm thinking about all that, and I can't honestly remember where it was and when he said it, so I apologize for that. But I just think back to Burke Nyhill's comments of, we thought we knocked it out of the park when we hired Brian Callahan to be the head coach, but now we know. Like, we know we did. We absolutely killed that hire when Brian Callahan was the head coach. It's like, oh, great. 4-19 later, great hire on that front.
Yeah. Well, on Brinker yesterday, look, I've said part of this, which is that, again, in the moment at the time, we all thought it was a good hire. The whole NFL thought it was a good hire. But yesterday, Brinker's talking about how the process was good to hire him. I mean, I think at this point, when he's 4-19 and you're sitting up there answering for it, even though you may have been told by your owner yesterday, yeah, you got to fire him. Sorry. I'm not dealing with the Vrabel crap. Fire him. Still, like, isn't that the time to take a little bit of accountability for you obviously screwed something up here?
Yeah. I mean, for as bad as it is, yeah. And like I said, I mean, the Titans are going to find a coach, and they're going to find a coach that we look at and say, okay, like, there's a background there. There's, reasonable justification that you can make as to why these coaches were hired. I mean, for the most part, that's the case every time a coach gets hired, no matter where they're hired in the NFL. So, they're going to find somebody.
Sure.
But are they going to get their top choice? Like, are they going to get their best option? Whoever that ends up being. They're going to say it's their best option, no matter who it is. Because everybody does. But are they going to end up getting actually their best option? Like, if I had to handpick somebody right now, and look, I've not thought a lot about this because I've been waiting until Callahan actually got fired. And frankly, at this point, I still think there's a lot of information out there that we're going to gather this year. Like, is Cliff Kingsbury, do they look any better than they've looked so far this year at any point? Because if they don't, he's probably not going to be on a lot of lists, right? Like, we'll see what this all looks like. So there's more information to come here. Like, even Joe Brady. Buffalo and look very good the last two games. What's that going to look like as they move forward? So there's a lot left to gather here. But if I had to, nail it down right now, I probably would say McCarthy because he does have a demonstrated track record of success. It didn't end well in Dallas, and he's not a perfect coach. There's some things he does from a game management standpoint that are, very bad, right? Like, time management stuff that's bad.
He is the enemy of the clock.
He is. He's not a perfect head coach. But, he does have a pretty good track record of success. And right now, I would probably take that. Do I think Mike McCarthy is going to come in and be the next coach for, 11 years? No, but I think they're a long way away right now. So that's probably who I would say at this moment, who I would target. But, to your point, if he's got options, does he look at this and say, yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know if the Titans is the place I want to be.
Yeah, the owner is a deterrent, of course. The front office structure has to be a deterrent. It's bizarre.
Yeah.
And then it wasn't long ago the guys at ESPN wrote the piece about betting that Callahan would get the full year, by the way. But, and wrote that, this should be a very attractive job, citing Cam Ward.
Yeah.
I think the rest of this year and Cam Ward and what he does could have a bearing on that too, right?
Totally agree.
I mean, it's got to be. If you feel like, okay, yeah, they've kind of screwed up here with the kid, but you can see it. Okay, I can come in there and we got a chance. Or if it continues roughly as it is, it's like, yeah, that looks like they might have made a mistake taking that kid.
Exactly.
I don't want that job.
Well, then, again, not to get too far ahead of ourselves here, but if that's the determination at the end of the year, if he's not any better than he is right now, if you're one of these coaches, are you coming in and saying, yeah, I'll take the job, but I want to go draft my own quarterback? what do you do at that point if you're the Titans? Because I can't imagine that's going to be a very popular thing for Borgonzi and Brinker to go that route. It's just all – it's all a mess at the moment. All a mess. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up next. Nick Suss at 8 o'clock. All that ahead. Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5 The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment. Let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Amy's fully on board with the plan.
That right there is a titan.
But we're going to get there.
Oh, I need sources to tell that?
Welcome to Tennessee.
That's what the Titans are. They are a goat F word.
She's at her home.
I'll never apologize for that.
Growing like a breeze, country roads, take me home.
It is time for the Rex Rant, brought to you by Functional Medicine of Tennessee. Rise up to better health. Check them out at functionalmedicineoftennessee.net. Now, there are certain ones you can tell that Ian's just really proud of himself. That's one of them, and he should be.
That was beautiful.
It was.
Why didn't I just say goat fart?
I don't know.
By the way, I just want to, before I get into this, can I just read this? Cam Ward in the story with Mike Silver, the Athletic, you know, he had a great quote about the we ask quote. Borgonzi apparently talked to him.
Yeah.
Borgonzi wasn't interested last night being at that presser. Like, please get me out of here. But he had a heart-to-heart with Cam.
It's good to know.
We ask may not be the best choice of words. I know you're a good quarterback, but we ask. Let's try a different choice of words there. That wasn't very good.
I enjoyed it. It was good.
But the quote here is, hold on. I got to find this. This is great.
Not a good idea to say we ask.
Good idea. not a good idea there. Cam says, quote, I'm not playing how I want to play right now. So once I play how I want to play, I think the league will be farted, end quote. I love it. I love the confidence. We're going to talk about Amy Armstrong today. Just I got to revisit this. And look, Michael on the YouTube chat, you may be trolling me. Sometimes when I get really mad, I'm looking around the corner like, is that Big Joe? Is that Big Joe pretending to be somebody else just trying to get me going? But here's what he said on the YouTube chat. He, quote, I don't understand why y'all care that Amy is there. She's the owner. She knows nothing about football. What's she going to be able to tell you? Oh, yeah, we're going to fire the head coach? Okay, let's go to Paul Kuharsky yesterday at the press conference, if we have that, Ian, asking about Amy.
Where is she right now?
Where? What do you mean?
Where's Amy Armstrong right now?
Yeah, she's at her home.
Why isn't she here?
I'm here representing her.
What do you mean? Is she high? Like, what do you mean? What do you mean? Where is she?
What are you talking about?
So I need to read this very long tweet from Kuharsky. I think I probably shouldn't do it in Kuharsky voice, right? Because I actually agree with it. Like, I don't want to make fun of him. So I should read this seriously, right?
I mean, anytime you want to do the Kuharsky voice, I'm cool with it.
I can't do it. It's way too long. I'm sorry. Here we go.
And especially my husband, Archie Bunker.
Those were the days. All right. This is what Kuharsky said. Why Amy Armstrong should be at a press conference about yet another firing, regardless of what other owners do, : city and state funding, major portion of Titans' new stadium, while she fields a horrific product and faces no consequences. When proxies face the difficult questions, things remain easy for her. She loved tailgating when they were winning, now hides when they lose, in parentheses, front runner. If she actually had to think these things through and answer for them, maybe it would be uncomfortable in a way where she'd really like to avoid such things in the future, but knew hiding was not possible. And it could help prompt better processes and decisions that could impact results. Certainly worth a shot given how it's gone with her in hiding. Heightened accountability is never bad. Why defend/protect her? That's the end of the tweet. It's a hell of a tweet. That might be his best tweet ever. Guys, yes. It absolutely matters that the owner answers for these things. This person is getting rich off you, off us, off this entire region where she doesn't live. And I understand. When things are going well, who cares? She lives in Texas, flies up for the games, at the tailgates. Everybody loves Amy. Fine. But now to not even, like, she's not even signing, like the press release is in Chad. Is Chad? She won't even like sign off on the press release. You can't divorce yourself from this entire product when you're getting rich off it. You can't do that. I don't give a crap what any other owner in the NFL does. Some talk all the time. Some never talk. When you're this bad and you just got a new stadium, there is no excuse. And it's insane to me that any fan would be like, oh, leave the owner alone. No. Unfortunately, you can't fire the owner, but God, you have to hold the owner accountable. And why anyone would not want to do that and would cover for her in any way is just mind-boggling to me.
I'm totally with you. And having said all that, there's zero reason to believe it's going to change, right? I mean, how long have we been talking about that? It's been years. And
we used to rip the hostage video with Mike Keith. I was like, that's pathetic. Not even doing that. What's next?
Yeah, I know.
Like how much more can you get like separated from it? You can't. If you're going to separate yourself that much, then let someone else in the family take over.
Yeah.
You're not doing it. You can't be this person.
No, I totally agree with you. And you know, layered behind all that is, you know, as Brinker said, he has been empowered to speak for her. And the answer is like, what has he done? Like, it's what I keep going back to in all this. And we talked about this when they fired Rand Carthon.
She likes him.
It's like, what has Chad Brinker possibly done and shown you during his tenure with the Titans to have been rewarded with seemingly promotion after promotion that now ends up where he's just like the guy in charge of everything. And he's been there for all of this. Like, it's just amazing to me that it's worked out that way. And you know, maybe he is next on the chopping block. I guess we'll see, because we'll probably find out here not too long from now what goes on that way. But it's just the whole thing is amazing to me how she's just divorced herself from all of it, and Brinker's been the one that's been running the show, and here he is, and the results are what they are, and it's not showing any signs of getting any better.
I don't know if this is the same, Mike. He says, okay, hold her accountable. Now, what are you going to do? Punch her? You can't fire her. No, again. Deep breaths. Low T.
No. Long fuse.
Yeah, long fuse. No. Okay, now Mike's saying gross stuff. All right. Is this Big Joe's number? Nope. Okay, it's not. She needs to speak on this. Again, plenty of teams have people who speak for the owner, and that's fine. But when you get to moments of crisis, which the Titans are able to generate every 6 months or so, that's when, again, the person who is getting rich off the situation, who just got a stadium built with the most public money ever, cannot hide. And people should not stop complaining about it and asking about it. So kudos to you, Kaharsky.
Well, and again, like, they're just continue. I said it yesterday, and I'm interested to see what it looks like on Sunday. But, like, the casual fan, right? Like, again, the diehard of the diehards that show up to every game, and they watch everything about the Titans, and they listen to everything about the Titans. Like, those people probably aren't going anywhere at the moment. But, like, your casual, again, I keep going back to the number one overall pick made his debut a few weeks ago in front of like a half-empty upper deck. That's where they're at right now. And I understand they got a new stadium coming, and a lot of people have already turned their attention to the new stadium. I get all that.
They're selling the hell out of firing Brian Callahan.
They are. But doesn't that kind of show you something about where this fan base is right now, that you just drafted a quarterback number one overall, and the first game he plays at home, like half of the upper deck's just not there? And it wasn't any better against the Colts. Like, it got worse. Like, I think that kind of shows you where the fans are right now. And you should probably pay attention to that if you're the Titans.
Right. But, again, the problem is the big thing they needed to get done is done. Yep. They got it done. The Burke Nyhill part of Berserker, that part of the job was done very well on the business side. And yep. So, you know, like, if that was hanging in the balance right now, If the timing of those two things where they were trying to push that through and this was going on, I bet you we'd see some different stuff from Amy Adams Strong. But she got what she wanted.
Yep.
She got the money.
We'll be joined by Nick Suss from the Tennessean coming up next. Get his thoughts on the firing of Brian Callahan. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.